So joining me first is representing the great land of Tautokoro, obviously not Ngāti Porou, where they're the first to see the light and always in the dark, is James Munro. Welcome, James.
Tēnā koe.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice.
It's been a long time, my friend.
It has, and I'm still kicking, brother, still kicking.
Oh, that's good to hear.
So we're doing the special on Is the Grass Greener on the Other Side of the Tasman? Because the numbers are that 170,000 of our whānau now live in Australia, 20% of all Māori, which is huge. And it's not just recent, it's intergenerational now. It's been going on for a very long time. Now, you're in New South Wales. I've got three questions for you, my friend. Why did you move to Australia?
Probably the first and foremost was for work, and work only. Ran out of options and opportunities back home, back in the late or early 2000. And I thought, well, there's a great chance that I'll be able to utilise my skills, my experiences somewhere else. So I applied for a role over here and then got it straight away and then realised that it really matched up with a good salary. Yeah. Wasn't expecting that at all. But then as I continued on, then it became better in regards to the opportunities I've had here and in New South Wales. And then utilising my skills and experience, then I was able to branch out to many other opportunities that I was able to utilise as well. So for me, at the end of the day, I think I made the right choice. Mm. I should have came a bit earlier. However, I've sort of more or less decided through my wife and I and our children that this is where we're going to be at this current time.
So how long have you been in Australia for now? Roughly.
Probably about 15 years now. So. Mm. But probably before that, I was over in WA in 88 and just loved it every moment as a teenager over there as well. So I was just about returning back in time. Yeah.
Now, perennial question, because a lot of New Zealanders, Māori in particular, think that somehow the grass is greener on the other side, more money, more jobs, more this, more that. Is the grass greener on the other side, do you think?
Well, this is a good analogy as well, because there's many ways to look at the grass is greener. You know, I enjoy doing the lawns over here because they're good lawns to maintain. But when you say greener, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff that are greener, but there's also a whole lot of greener opportunities that we miss out on. Exactly, it's like being back home, and we utilize like probably traveling back to New Zealand for Waitangi Day, you know, because being from Te Tautokoro, that's an annual pilgrim for me and my whānau to actually to be part of that process and around you know, being the kaitiaki of the Te Riti of Waitangi Day, all those little things. But in saying that, we are given an opportunity over here to also participate in basically all the opportunities that we do miss out back home, but in our way in here in Pōhākei, you know, that we're able to have our own Waitangi Day, our own Matariki, celebrate our own Matariki. We do have kapahaka, we do have kohanga reo, we do have mauraka going along here as well.
Can I just ask you something, James? Matariki, of course, we're on the cusp of Matariki at the moment. Is there a special way you fellas, you and your whānau, celebrate Matariki?
Well, we participate with our whānau here in Blacktown, so we're given an opportunity, and I think Mate Rawiri takes us and goes through that whole experience and then shares that experience with whānau that come to celebrate Matariki, especially at the dawn ceremony. And the most important part to celebrate Matariki are the ones that have passed on. And then we had an opportunity to have the yarn, but then also, you know, we are taught, you know, and educated on why we do things and why is that happening and so forth during the whole that calendar year. So for me, it's a still a great opportunity to keep on learning and then also to share with the next generations that who are born here in Australia as well. So it is important. At least we're getting something. It's better than nothing.
Do you think, I know I only said I had three questions, but now I've got more. Do you sometimes think, though, that because our people, some whānau, are there for such a long time that they run the risk of being disconnected from our culture?
Probably a yes and no answer for that. And I can't give you a definite answer, but I can give you a yes and no. Yes, in regards to, for us as Māori here in Poihaki, now we've got to try and maintain that ourselves. No one on a white horse is going to come along and tell you and tap you on the head and say, you're going to speak Māori, you are Māori, and so forth. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging other whānau around you. Māori, even non-Māori.
Well, that's right, because some of our whānau, obviously, they marry into other whānau. The number of Māori and mixed Māori Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander families, mixed Māori Polynesian families, Lebanese families, and so on and so on. I mean, it is it's really much about getting involved in other cultures too.
Oh, definitely. But it's also our role as Māori to maintain that connection with them, that whakawhanaungatanga with them, to make sure, you know, that if they're okay, everything's going well, and then vice versa, showing us and upskilling us in their whānau that they're married into. And I'll use our tangata moemoea for a good example. You know, there's some wonderful people that who are Māori who are married into our indigenous brothers and sisters here. And, you know, they've got a wonderful two worlds of good life, you know, where they're able to continue their Māori tanga, but also continue being Aboriginal.
Yeah. Can I ask you another question? I mean, because, you know, over here, the controversy over 501s, a lot of New Zealanders see New Zealanders living in Australia through the prism of 501s. But actually, the truth is, there's a lot of Kiwis over there, Māori in particular, who are very successful. They don't go out robbing banks or doing drive-bys or whatever it is, you know?
And you're right. And I would say there's a high percentage of that as well, that everyone wants to do well here. Not only just to show their whānau that they are successful here and abroad, but also to prove to themselves that they are, because, you know, we're getting our children are being brought up in an environment where have good work ethics, you know, you get those rewards and on good salaries, good experiences, good qualifications, and so forth. You know, there's only a small percentage that make it hard and difficult for us, but that's their choice. At the end of the day, it's choices that they come up with.
Now, James, last question from me. Is there anything that would draw you home permanently?
Probably the only thing I would, because tomorrow we've always maintained that we will return home, no matter what, you know. So when that urge comes again and gets ready, you know, we will return home. So it's not a fixed deal living in Australia. However, you know, even our son being here, he's very successful in what he's doing. So we're just still here to support him. But in saying that, I still got my two older children and my mokos back home in Te Taitokere. And they're enjoying themselves as well.
And, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of Māori in particular in Australia say, that the one thing that's keeping them there are the ties of their children and their mokopuna. I was talking to one fella just the other day about, he said, oh, look, I don't want to leave my son alone. And I thought to myself, oh, I didn't realise you had a son. And we talked a little bit more, and I soon realised actually his son is no longer with us. He's buried there. He didn't want to leave his son alone in the ground.
You know, that's one thing, and we have a lot of whānau who has buried their loved ones here in Australia, you know. And it is hard, you know. You've got that emotional, you've got that umbilical cord still connected to that, to your own whānau member, you know, and that is very, very hard.
It is tough. It is tough.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is I'm glad that I got to know you while I was in Australia, because, you know, I think we had some good times, including on that boat through Babana that used to ply its nefarious trade on the on the waters.
But not only that, Matthew, you know, we've also had those other opportunities, and especially around suicide prevention, you know, that's still my number one you know, passionate and making sure that our Māori whānau over here have got that connection, that someone is able to connect with them, that we have that conversation with them on a regular basis, that we meet regularly all the time, because that's the worst thing we want to see our own whānau is returning back home in the box.
Yeah, absolutely. I know how that kind of feels. Hey, James Munro from the great state there of New